from Land Grant Brewing Company, Columbus, Ohio.
Right in front, dude.
Just make sure to get a bunch of spittle, like all over the mic.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
Oh, that's good.
Did you like that? Were you recording that one?
Yeah.
Land Grant Brewing presents Land Grant University. Beers with the Brewers.
I'm Mark Richards. Generally. Joining us again this week, Walt Keys.
Good morning.
Afternoon. One Mr. Adam Benner.
Oh, hello.
And we got Dan Schaefer,
I'm lead brewer.
Here we are, not in the Kickstarter room this week. We're out in the tap room. We've been relocated.
Relocated from a fantasy football draft.
This week we're drinking Son of a Mutter Brown Ale. It's an American brown, chocolate, caramel, malty, and balanced. We got some taco and chili pairings this week. Fake mole fajitas and brown ale chili. And I want to know.
I got to ask how.
What are these, Dan?
I thought it was unfair that we kept putting recipes on there that had been untested. So, the yes, I usually make a chili that I will finish with a brown ale. I'm more of a chuck roast as opposed to a ground beef type of guy. Sort of old school Texas style chili. But Mutter,
no beans.
I have not had the chance to use Mutter yet because Marnie and I, my wife, have dueling chili recipes, and she usually wins out in the fall. But I'm going to make a strong push this year.
But so have you tested the fake mole chili?
I have. So fajitas. If fajitas. You take one of those discs of Mexican chocolate and you break off one of those triangles and you chuck a couple chilies into a spice grinder, mix it up. That's your fake mole dry rub. You can put that on anything.
Nice. That'll work.
That sounds good.
Because real moles take a long, long amount of time, and I don't have that amount of time.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. It takes me no time. I just order
is my microphone?
The mole sauce.
It's aimed pretty high.
It has a very loose switch. Oh,
uh-oh. 2 weeks in a row.
Gravity alone is turning my microphone off.
There you go.
Walt Keys working with a loose switch.
Should work. All right. Okay, I'm good.
Well, Walt, now that you're dialed in on that microphone.
Oh, that looks good.
What's going on in tap room this week?
Well, a little housekeeping. We will be open on Labor Day, which, as we all know, is just days away at this point. I'm heading into Labor Day weekend. We will open noon to 7 Monday, Labor Day. Open our usual hours Saturday and Sunday. So college football this weekend. So
yeah.
Come, you're not all heading right down to the Horseshoe for the opener. We will obviously have the game on, and we'll have all the games following that on. I believe we're going to give it a shot to project the Michigan-Notre Dame game out in the beer garden.
That's the secret tip. If you listen to the podcast, you may be treated to projecting the Notre Dame-Michigan game at night, depending on how many stiff arms we have at the game.
Yeah.
But it may be too hot to have too many stiff arms at the game, so we may not last that long at the opener, as it's supposed to be very hot and humid, as summer has returned in all full force here in Central Ohio.
Yeah, so we're gonna give the projector a test run, hopefully, to make sure we're ready to go for the anniversary party in a few weeks.
And the TCU game.
As well as
game.
The TCU game, which is game 3, so in 3 weeks. Beer Garden Music Series rolling on. The next one's going to be September 9th. That is a week from Sunday. That's going to go on 3 to 6, so afternoon show featuring the Winnie Cooper Project, which they do a lot of sort of 90s hip-hop covers. It should be a lot of fun. Good sort of Sunday afternoon fun there. And then, as always, the anniversary party. It's coming. It's coming soon, September 29th. That's going to be the last weekend of September, obviously. As I mentioned, we're going to be showing the Penn State game live here in the beer garden. A lot of bands lined up, a special halftime show planned for that Penn State game. Brewers have a lot of fun stuff cooked up or in the works.
The pilot system be humming back there.
Yeah, Adam, President Adam brewed a beer yesterday.
Got back in the rubber boots.
Is that the first time you've brewed since year one?
No, it's been 2 years, I think, okay, since I last brewed a beer. Some of the, well, It could have been.
Well, and if he still got it, that beer should be on tap for the anniversary party. And if not,
don't worry, Chris was there to supervise the whole time.
To the water system.
He made sure that I wasn't a little too aggressive in any of my throwing in the hops or anything. But
no, nobody needs to lose an eye.
Yes.
But yeah, lots of beer, lots of fun, lots of music. So put it on your calendar, September 29th. And then another one that we're still kind of ironing out the details on, but worth noting, it's going to be a Halloween party October 27th. Ooh. Saturday
the 27th. Spooky Halloween party,
it's
or
gonna
is it a fun Halloween
it's gonna
party?
It's
going to
be a double Halloween party. We're talking with BarkBox about doing a dog-themed Halloween party during the day.
Oh.
Because it is also the day that the Pups and Pints Law goes into act. Pups on the Patio Law goes into
when dogs are finally
when dogs
legally
are
allowed
to buy alcohol.
Now
that day will mark the official beginning of dogs being allowed on patios with by the consent of
now,
the business owner.
Now at this, I'm assuming this is going to be some sort of costume competition for pets. I'll just put it out there. I assume that owners' pets are not eligible to win because it would be unfair if Gus showed up.
Correct.
In his Sherlock Holmes costume.
Probably doesn't fit in there.
Oh, no. It's about half. He was about half the size when he lived in Chicago as he is now. So
yeah, Gus will not be eligible to win.
Well, yeah, that's probably that's probably fair for everyone,
So it's going to be a dog-themed Halloween party by day turned human-themed Halloween party by night.
So, now, is there bonus points if the owners or of the dog and the dog are in a
matching
partner costume?
Sure, yeah. I would think so.
Interesting.
Have you done that before, Adam?
No, I haven't, but I could be, you know, he could be Sherlock Holmes in a Sherlock Holmes costume, and I could be
Watson.
Dr. Watson?
Probably.
Professor Watson.
Sounds right.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Inspector Holmes.
We'll roll with that.
Yeah.
So we're getting some DJs and stuff, having a human costume party at night. So put that on your calendar, and we will see you then, if not before.
Hey, I'm drinking a delicious brown ale, Son of a Mutter.
Son of a Mutter.
What you all know about that?
What a coinky dink, as am I.
Oh, yeah, it's all set. They got the bug boy on.
The bug boy?
The little fella's been riding his heart out. They're going to break his maiden.
Really?
Yeah, but it's a little slow out there. It rained last night. Oh, this baby loves the slop. Loves it. Eats it up. Eats the slop. Born the slop. His father was a mutter.
His father was a mutter.
His mother was a mutter.
His mother was a mutter.
What did I just say?
Dan, what you know about brown ales?
Well, about 4-6% ABV, 20-30 IBUs. Very malt-centric beer, rich, sweet, chocolate, caramel, toasty, nutty. When you can find these anymore, it used to be ubiquitous. Everyone had to do a brown ale. Typically, they are either in the hoppier category and higher ABV, or some people are going more in the type of baby stout direction. Neither of which I think is an actual brown ale, but you know, it's my old man rant, get off my lawn and all that. But they'll typically be hoppier and higher ABV, the American versions, than the English versions. So think, you know, Newcastle Brown and stuff like that. Examples, Brooklyn Brown, Bell's Best Browns, Muddy Nose Old Brown Dog, which I particularly like that beer. In Ohio, the only one I could think of was Mad Tree's Gnarly Brown.
They stopped making that as well, as with a lot of others.
They're falling by the wayside.
Hopefully Son of a Mutter never dies this terrible fate. But.
Avery's Best Brown, that was I don't know if you didn't, Bell's Best
Bell's.
Brown. Avery's, who is Bell's?
Ellie's Ale or something.
Ellie's Ale.
Brown. Yeah.
It's a good beer.
They are awesome with food, along with ambers, are probably the best beers to go with just about any type of food, and are easy drinking and delicious, and it'd be cool if beers like this made a comeback. So
I think it's a perfect time of year for it to come back.
There you go.
Well, that's every time that we've had someone in here asking what beer pairs with what food, the easiest one is always Son of a Mutter.
Yeah.
Whether it's O'Burgers, whether it's Ray Ray's, even Ninja Bowl, those flavors from those Japanese bowls go really well with that. So I think all the food trucks pair really nice with that. Wednesday night as we record, I'll have a son of a mutter when I get my O-Burgers as they're here on Wednesday nights. It's a great pairing with that char from the burger.
Not that it's something to look over, but usually brown ales and particularly mutter is what I will have when I am trying to decide. When I'm looking at a big beer board and I see brown ale, I will order that while I look at the rest of the beer board and decide what to have.
Yeah, it's a good starting point. You're going to be too tongue-bent by the time you get down one like you would a double IPA. Yeah.
I have not heard that before.
It's a new one.
That's good.
I just made that up.
Tongue-bent.
It's because I couldn't think of palate-wrecked fast enough.
You got tongue-twisted trying to think of palate-wrecked.
Nailed it.
And tongue-bent.
So, this particular beer comes in at 6.1% ABV, 21 IBUs. Pale Ale, Caramel 120, Victory, Cara Brown, Honey, Chocolate, Malts, and Flaked Oats. And Summit and Chinook hops on the back end.
People have told me this beer is hoppy. I don't find it particularly hoppy. Where do you find it in the range of brown ales?
So I've got to tell you, a lot of that has to do with the English yeast change. And, man, I noticed this, like, immediately. We got it back on the board last Friday, and I really thought nothing of it other than we got brown ale back on the board because it was off for just a few days leading up to packaging. However, I had one on Monday when I remembered, oh, the yeast has changed. Wow, it's so much maltier than before.
Yeah, so we started using what we hope to become our house English strain on this beer, try to boost the malt perception because English strains typically do that. And yeah, when I was doing the tasting notes for this, it just makes everything pop. I think you notice a lot more depth in this now. Yeah, I really like the change. I think the our San Diego, our sort of classic American house strain, really does accentuate hops, and it's a very clean strain. So sometimes malts can get sort of lost in the mix when you've got a lot of hops.
Yeah, it shows. I think that historically, when we've had fresh mutter coming on after taking off an older keg of mutter, you can really... It just seemed like the hops were a lot more in the forefront at first.
It's got a little bit of a piney bite to it.
About 3 weeks later, it started rounding out to get a little more malt presence as those hops died back just a little bit.
Yeah, mutter was one that you always needed some time. Even from the first time we brewed it, it needed a week or two before it did mellow out. I see that as well. And I know we've talked about that. Potentially, you know, when we first started brewing, we chose the San Diego yeast as a house yeast. That's what I had been using in home brewing, and really 4 or 5 years ago it was just more on let's accentuate the hops and the even the bittering characteristics, which is what that San Diego strain does a great job with. But as trends go, and as I think a lot of people's tastes have gone away necessarily from that, just seeking out that bitterness. I know that's one thing we've talked internally about. You know, let's try some of our other beers with some different yeasts and utilize the pilot system to see if we can improve that beer for the better.
Yeah, I mean, it can be tricky. I'm trying to balance several yeast strains in the brewery, but particularly now that we've got the pilot system, we can, you know, if we got something we want to keep going, we can just do a pilot of it using that yeast strain, and it just keeps it going for us for another month or whatever until we have time to use it again.
I definitely am digging this version of Son of a Mutter.
Yeah, I'd mark it an improvement. It's just got a great malt character, and the hops are still there. It's still balanced out a little bit, so it's not, you know, cloyingly sweet in any way, but great malt presence this year.
When I'm thinking of descriptors for this beer, the thing I always come back to is liquid Tootsie Roll. As soon as I smell it, when I'm taking samples out of the fermenter, Tootsie Roll, almost every time. But you can tell, particularly with the English strain now, when it warms up, you get all the stuff underneath. It becomes a much more complex beer. You know, caramel, toffee. I think you get like a little bit of a chocolate chip muffin type thing, which is cool. I do think... with the English strain, it's probably a bit more drinkable now. Not drinkable, but certainly quaffable, we'll say. I could probably have an extra pint of this.
Oh, well, that leads nicely into the crushability scale,
so
doesn't it?
A little extra crushable is what you're saying.
Yeah. I don't want to say that exactly, because, you know, it's not like I'm reading from the script.
We don't want to put words in your mouth, but...
I would say three, maybe four of these. They are pints. I don't know if I physically have enough room for four pints in sitting anymore, but... over an extended session, say a tailgate, I think I could work that out.
Mm-hmm. I think three. I'd have to go three.
Three feels right to me.
It's a little heartier. It's got a little heartier feel to it, even though it's probably not quite that much more. But yeah,
I think four makes sense. But when I look at that 6.1 ABV, that kind of scares me away from that fourth one from my responsible crushing.
It does creep up on you a little bit.
And
it doesn't taste like a 6%
beer. Oh, yeah, that's hidden really well in this beer. You wouldn't pick that up at all. I think it tastes sessionable.
So this beer is always on draft on number one because it was the first beer we made. It
has been forever.
People ask
Since
a lot
the dawn
about,
of time.
People ask a lot about this beer in package and if it's available. I know we've run it once in cans.
Only one time for Thanksgiving last year.
Yeah. What,
real special.
Is there any plan to package it in the future?
You know, a lot of people started a Thanksgiving tradition last year by having Son of a Mutter on their table. So we'll do our best to make sure that we can have that back again this year. I know I had some Son of a Mutter next to... We actually got... Lauren and I got Ray Ray's turkey breast last year for Thanksgiving. So
I remember that.
As we're talking about that, it's something to look out for. Around the holiday, if you start planning 2.5 months in advance, like some people do, know that you can pick up a very, very delicious smoked turkey breast from Ray Ray's.
Yeah.
Hey, what's the deal with the name on this?
Well, as we may have played earlier, or as we had, we knew we were going to have a brown ale. I think Dan kind of alluded to it, that a lot of breweries had brown ales, and... It's just something that, without doing a full-on stout or porter, but to still give those malt lovers a beer to go to, that's a style we wanted to go with. And coming up with the name, one of the partners that helped us get the brewery started, his wife is involved in a charity that works with retired racehorses. So in talking with him and in a potential event, we wanted to come up with a beer that kind of fit that theme of horse racing. And as we've said in the past, in the Urban Sombrero episode, we could probably name every beer to a Seinfeld reference. So this one came very early, and to the fact when degenerate gambler Kramer hears the tip on the subway about the horse Papa Nick who loves the slop, it fit perfectly with the brown ale. So, and coincidentally, I think we've touched on in the past some of the trademark issues folks get into with beer names, or we ran into, we'll touch on during the anniversary episode, some of the land grant history. But if you've ever been on the tour, I know I like to mention how our original name was Oval Brewing Company, and we ran into a issue with a vodka company from Austria that had the trademark. We registered the trademark for Son of a Mutter for beer, and we got a phone call from Tough Mutter Racing, the Mutter Racing. So they wanted to just verify that we weren't naming it after their racing series, which the attorney just asked, where did we get the name from? And I said it was inspired by... Kramer and Seinfeld, and he goes, oh, thanks, that's great. And that was our conversation. So he just wanted to make sure they were protecting their trademark.
I wonder if Vandalay Industries or Kramerica might be giving us a call.
They may have that. They may have that trademark.
We'll see.
As Walt said, it was the first beer we brewed.
Yeah.
It, for a long time, was the only beer we didn't dry hop. So as you build up the yeast, you don't necessarily want to take that yeast off of a beer that you have or are going to dry hop, and being that it was the only one, that was the first beer we brewed. Our equipment manufacturer Sprinkman president and owner Brian Sprinkman came out and brewed that beer with us. And that's why it's number one on the board in the tap room.
So we had a question from a listener this week, which they've actually, we had a few weeks where we didn't have a question, but man, they've been rolling in. We've got a few stacked up. So Nick, he has no last name. There are some beers I associate with specific memories or places. Left Hand Coffee Porter was my engagement. Oberon is the start of each school year. And Great Lakes Commodore Perry was a certain game of Monopoly that ended with a dip in what turned out to be a pretty green pond.
Do you think he means that it was a beautiful green pond, or if it was a pond that was exceptionally green?
I think he played Monopoly and took a dip in a green pond, which that, I'm not, I don't know.
Nick, you may have to clarify what you mean right there.
Yeah, Nick, we'd love to hear that story.
Confused with that. We need to
maybe he was making some fat stacks. Maybe that's his pretty green pond.
Oh,
real cash.
Fat stacks.
Oh. Hey, if we have any of these details wrong, and Nick, you're here at 3:30 on a Wednesday, stop by and break it down for us. It would be awesome, he thinks, to hear about any favorite memories that we associate with specific beers.
That's a good question.
I think round table, Walt, kick it off.
I'm going to say one that's probably stealing from Benner, maybe. Dark Lord. Is that what you're going with?
No. Go ahead.
So I associate Dark Lord, which is Three Floyds Imperial, Russian Imperial Stout, barrel-aged Russian Imperial Stout, with Ohio State-Michigan games.
Yeah.
For many years.
I'm getting chills thinking about it right now.
Mostly pre-land grant days, we would go to the Ohio State-Michigan game, whether it was here in Columbus or in up in Ann Arbor. And Adam would have a bottle of Dark Lord that he'd been saving for a special occasion. And we'd crack it open at like 9:30 a.m. And drink a really, really strong stout there in the morning. And Bob and Bob were usually there.
Yeah, shout out to the Vecchionis, Mr. Vecchioni and Bobby Vecchioni.
Yeah, and Colin McNamara usually there.
Yeah, Colin, my old brewing buddy up in Chicago. So I'll give some feedback back when you really didn't even need a ticket, and Dark Lord Day was not as organized as it is right now. We would go. My wife's family is from Munster, so we're about a mile and a half from the brewery. We would just pop over. One of my father-in-law's high school friends has a spot in the same business park. So we'd park there and head over, and no one else really liked that big of beer, so I had bottles and bottles, so we would bring those to the Michigan game. And, you know, it's a beer to be shared. A lot of people are probably drinking that and kind of geeking over it, and we poured it in red Solo cups and a little kind of with people that may or may not have liked it, but that's the tradition. It looks like motor oil in the Solo cup coats the whole bottom, but nice chilly fall morning.
Yeah, good beer for being outside in the morning on late November.
And
good beer for Michigan. Yeah.
And Ohio State has never lost when we've done that. And I was looking when we went up to Ann Arbor. Mark actually went up to Ann Arbor with me, and we went with the Vecchionis, and I brought a bottle of Dark Lord, and I thought I was down to my last bottle, but I think I have two or three left, so there's still a little magic, hopefully, left.
It worked again. I don't know that we needed that much Dark Lord that day, though. Michigan's having a rough year last year.
So
yeah, sometimes they don't need it, but it can't hurt.
It doesn't hurt. I mean, you got to have insurance.
Yeah, what about anyone else?
Big Dan.
Well, when I was in Edinburgh doing my my brewing degree, I drank a lot of Orkney Brewing Dark Island, which you can get here in bottle, but it's not nearly the same beer as it is on cask. But my friend and I could actually tell where it was in the cask based on the flavor of it. So the middle third is the sweet spot. We drank enough of it that
you knew where it was.
We wore out some pub stools drinking that beer.
Awesome.
What about you, Mark? The beer has to have the word dark in the name, apparently.
Well, I'm not going to have the word dark in it. I think Old Milwaukee really beckons me back to my youth with my heavy metal boys cruising around. Not that I would suggest you do that these days after beers, but I got to tell you, Stiff Arm, I still equate to Taylor Swift every time. And,
is her favorite beer.
It is her favorite beer, allegedly.
Allegedly her favorite beer.
I never thought I could say this, but I've seen Taylor Swift in concert. I saw her at Nationwide Arena with my wife, Joan, Adam, and Lauren. And it was also simultaneous with the first time Stiff Arm was ever served in Nationwide Arena. So we scrambled around frantically. We had to find which stations, serving stations, had that beer on. We drank a lot of Stiff Arms.
Yeah. Maybe a high five there, just by the way.
Yeah, maybe did some cartwheels on the way back to the brewery as we walked back.
Walked back responsibly.
Maybe even sauntered. But I've never
seen two people walking on air the way you and Adam walked into Land Grant after going to the Taylor Swift concert.
It was pretty awesome, actually. You know, one thing about it, Adam, we're not a fan club, are we?
No, it's the Taylor Nation's not a fan club. It's just a group of Taylor Swift people that enjoy Taylor's music.
We just appreciate that 1989
like that.
Album.
Yeah. Something like that.
I think for me. You know, and the old Taylor's dead, so you'll never have a chance to relive the 1989 experience.
Though I actually saw some video or someone made a GIF or GIF for you weirdos out there of Ohio Stadium. So what Walt was kind of referring to, we got these bands that were Bluetooth or some sort of wirelessly activated that's synced with the music, and the waves at Ohio Stadium seeing 50,000-60,000 people in sync with all of those colors. It's quite a production. So
yeah.
The production value is very high. So I'd have to go with Coors Original, and I know we've talked about Coors Original in the past. That's Chris.
Is that Banquet?
Banquet beer. That's one of Chris's go-to beers.
That's good for banquets.
And I was never really a fan of Coors Original until I had it in Colorado skiing. It may have been because we were dehydrated from skiing. It may have been because we were in a hot tub and in Colorado, but we were convinced, this was back when we were in college, convinced that Coors Original, if you have it over here in Ohio, it doesn't really have the same flavor because it's a high-altitude beer. It's brewed at a high altitude, so it should be enjoyed at a high altitude.
You've got to drink it at altitude.
If you drink Coors Original at altitude, it is the way the brewers intended it to be drank.
Penthouse of the Lebec Tower, here I come with a sixer.
There you go. You need to be at least, I think, 5,000 or 6,000 feet up there.
I don't think we can.
Yeah, and I'll add one more that's right in line with that. Coors Light is the official early morning game day beer. Adam, myself, and all of our friends have exclusively drank at least one Coors Light on game day mornings.
Maybe.
For like a noon game, you got to have a Coors Light.
Coors Light. And a McDonald's breakfast.
Yeah.
May your mountains be blue, right?
Blue.
May your mountains be blue. And your bullets silver.
Oh,
there
sure.
You go. Bring it back.
It's beautiful. That's a Taylor Swift song, I think.
So what's our next episode, Walt?
Next week we got Lawn Raker, our Marzen-style ale, which is kind of like our Oktoberfest-y kind of beer. After that, we got Concentrate. And then I believe the week after that, we're going to do sort of the history of Land Grant leading into our anniversary party.
Woot.
Yeah. But we'll also probably touch on the Bourbon Barrel Age Imperial Stout that's coming up for the anniversary as well, called Dropout.
Just blended today.
Oh, I was...
Wow.
Were you guys emptying out the barrels yesterday? Is that what was happening?
Emptying out the barrels, and then we held some of the base beer back, and we're trying different blends today, and came upon a very tasty one. So.
Yeah, I was back there yesterday, and smelt of bourbon and vanilla.
The whole brewery smelled like a shot glass. It was amazing.
How's it tasting?
It is... not what you would necessarily expect of a bourbon barrel stout. It is very smooth and more on the chocolatey side as opposed to roasty.
Cool. Nice. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm very excited. I'm digging it.
Yeah. That'll be available at the anniversary party and in a limited canned release I think the week leading up to the anniversary party.
Yeah, very limited can release, and I think instead of holding it to the anniversary party, we unleash it the week of, so yeah. We don't have to have everybody can just focus on partying instead of worrying about how to get their six pack the hell out of here.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, for you vegetarians out there, I had one last night in the can with a cheese pizza.
Already,
oh, wow! Man. Nothing on the pizza, huh? Yeah, no, like green peppers. Banana peppers.
Nah, I think this will be a pizza night, Walt. You want to hook it up at Massey's?
Jardinara.
Jardinara.
You know, yesterday was a national or international pizza day.
No shit. That was yesterday? Oh,
that's why Mark just told us about having
Yeah, that's why you had pizza last night,
thanks,
I guess.
Mark.
There it is.
Apparently you're not necessary here.
Yeah, at North Star.
I blew it.
Buddha Bowl.
Cool.
Anything else?
Thanks for repping. That's what we say.
Oh, sure. We got to tidy this up. I think we got to get the brooms out and sweep this thing out of here. Dan, you got anything else?
I got nothing. I'm all talked out.
Yeah.
Both
Wally?
Both words I said.
No, I'm good.
Mr.
Cheers.
Benner?
I'm good.
This is Mark signing out. Thanks again for joining us on the Land Grant University Presents Beers with the Brewers podcast. Tip your bartenders. Peace out.
Son of a mutter, why is it raining? You want anyway?
Got it.
Nailed it.
There's a four horse in the first race, bumping it.
How do you know he's gonna win?
My UPS guy, Lance. The guys who own the horse are his regular customers. Every horse he's ever given me has won.
Yeah?
I see they've been sandbagging, looking for a good spot. He's been getting in light because they're using a bug boy on him, and the workouts have been unpublished. Now they're ready to run with him. He's gonna break his mane. He's gonna go for a great price, maybe 30 to 1. I'm telling you, it's a lock.
But it rained last night.
Exactly. This horse loves the slop.